This episode of Standard Orbit is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter. Visit enterpriseinspace.org.
Hey everyone, I'm Rod Roddenberry, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Risk is our business.
It's like nothing we've dealt with before.
Golly, Jim, I'm beginning to think I can cure a rainy day.
I can't change the laws of physics.
Welcome, everyone, to Standard Orbit, Trek FM's dedicated podcast that covers the original and new cast of Captain Kirk and the Enterprise. I am Ken Tripp.
And I am Zach Moore, and it's the holiday season, where many a gift will be given and received, and I thought it would be a perfect time to discuss one of the biggest aspects of my Star Trek fandom, as a kid at least, toys. Okay, so as a child of the late 80s and 90s, I grew up in, you know, what was the golden era of Star Trek toys, really, from Playmates, and I thank my Trekkie parents for allowing me to have such a large collection of action figures and accessories as a child. So they took care of only child here, right? So I was taken care of nicely when it came to to toys and things of that nature. So, and we were a Star Trek family, so it Star Trek was my toys, right? But our wheelhouse here on Standard Orbit is of course the original series. So we'll be focusing on the toys of that particular brand of Star Trek. And, which, of course, there were many before my time, of the 80s and 90s, weren't there, Ken?
Yeah, funny how you worded that. But, yeah, before your time, there were. And, unlike you, and let's break out the tissues, folks, I was alone in my family and my Star Trek fandom. I didn't have parents that got it or cared much for it. My mom did as she got older, and God bless her. The last movie we saw together was Into Darkness. So I know not a great movie, but kind of a nice memory for me, back a few years ago. But I was a 70s, 80s, and, I graduated high school in the early 80s. And because I really came into Star Trek, Zach, in 1979, really with the motion picture, and then got hooked. The first memory I have of any toys whatsoever was the Happy Meal from McDonald's. The launch of the Happy Meal, the very launch of the Happy Meal, started with Star Trek The Motion Picture. And you can find some pretty good clips of that commercial on YouTube even today. It's pretty funny to look back at it. So I didn't have a ton of toys back then. I remember the commercials for them. And it's going to be fun talking through this with you.
Yeah, that's crazy to think Star Trek The Motion Picture was the first Happy Meal. People give it a bad rap for, oh, it's the motionless picture, it's the slow motion picture, But this is
just give me a name, Zach. Just give me one name who does that, and I will take care of them tomorrow.
Well, I think my parents actually referred it that way, but anyway, I'll leave them out of it. It's crazy that this is the action adventure franchise at the time, right? The McDonald's decided, oh yeah, the kids are gonna love this one. It's like, what? No. we can appreciate the motion picture for what it is, but it's definitely not a kid's movie, is it, Ken?
Well, no, but, the way they advertised it was obviously kid-friendly, and what it was a Klingon, speaking in Klingon, talking about the Happy Meal and why he loves McDonald's with a narrator telling us what the Klingon is saying. It was really cool.
We will track that down, and we'll post it on the Babel Conference. It's awesome.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. So, so from that era, my era, so forth, that's where Aaron Harvey's going, right? If you guys have listened to his show already, it would have come out on Saturday. That's where their focus is. It's kind of that era of toys and before. And we're going into, Zach. You're such a puppy, Zach. God, you're such a puppy. To talk about the toys that were in your era, so to speak.
Yeah, so yeah, if you're interested in Mego toys and, the Spock helmet and all that funny stuff, I'm sure you've seen it around the internet. Spock helmet is probably my favorite, most ridiculous Star Trek tie-in. There, basically, it was like a Star Trek space helmet, and it said like Spock on it, and he wear a helmet. It's like, yeah, just like Spock does on Star Trek, right? tie-ins are not what they used to be, right?
He didn't have a red light on it, like like Space Cadet or something.
Space Cadet Spock, right? But yeah, for all that stuff, definitely check out the most recent episode of Saturday Morning Trek, and our buddy Aaron Harvey has you covered in that category. So we're going to move forward, though, with, you know, the 80s and 90s, my wheelhouse. And, you know, my first memories of Star Trek toys, and as I've said many times, I'm a child of the Next Generation, so a lot of my toys were Next Generation toys. But, you know, we're not here to talk about the Next Generation. We're here to talk about the original series.
I think there's, yeah, isn't there another show that, I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, it's like Earl Black or Earl Brown or something like that. I'm not really sure.
Duke of Earl. I can't remember.
So we'll leave that for those guys. And, you know, hey, and perhaps, you know, we might have a conversation about that with them in the near future, Ken. Who's to say, right?
Yeah, who's to say? Yeah.
This is not the Nexus. We don't exist at all points in time at the same time, so we can't answer those questions just yet. But anyway, moving on. You know, so my first, as far as the original series goes, right, my first memories of original series toys were from the ERTL company, and I remember it was like my third birthday. So you know, because you start remembering things when you're around three. At least that's been my experience in my own life.
Maybe you're a lot closer to three than I ever was. So anyway, that's carry on.
many less years have passed from when I was three to when you were three again. Yeah, but getting these die-cast starships. Right, and it was the Enterprise A, and it was the Bird of Prey, and it was from like Star Trek V, which had only just come out a couple years before. Mm-hmm. And those are my first like original series toys, and I love playing with those toys. And the great thing about these die-cast toys is they're sturdy, right? You can be a kid throwing around ships and whatever, and they hold up very well. You know, the paint gets worn and whatever, but those are the iconic ships of the movies. Because when I was a kid, like I watched the Star Trek movies all the time, and those were the big ships of the movies, the refit Enterprise or Enterprise A. And the Bird of Prey. And, you know, so those are, you know, the earliest original series toys that I had. And, you know, and looking back, you know, in the post motion picture boom, right, because there were all these toys for that film, there was no toys or tie-ins for Star Trek II, right? There was no action figure line. There was nothing. But the same company here, ERTL, they came out with these die-cast ships that I'm talking about. They also had an Excelsior. I never had the Excelsior. I just had the Enterprise and the Bird of Prey. But before Star Trek V, they had a Star Trek III line, and they had four action figures, and it came with Captain Kirk, Mr. Spock, which is funny. Star Trek III, Mr. Spock action figure, okay.
They could have had three of them or four of them, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. If only they knew what the collectability would be all these years later. Then they, of course, had Krug. Not Krug, just Krug, Ken. I think we finally got you straight on that.
I've been straight for weeks now.
So who do you think the fourth character was they had?
The fourth one?
Yeah.
Okay. It has to be obscure by the way you're going. So let me think here. Savick?
No. It was Scotty.
Yeah, okay.
Which is like, I don't understand. Like, McCoy, maybe? Like, no, just Scotty. So such an odd choice of the four characters to have.
Was it... how should I put this delicately? So Scotty for Star Trek III, you know, he wasn't quite in military standards. Were they kind to him? You know, I mean, he had. I remember reading a review for Star Trek II, and it really made me angry because it was James Vanier, I believe, and he was not a Star Trek fan. In fact, you could tell that he only watched the first 15 minutes of the movie and walked out. You could tell because his review had Savick as the permanent captain of the Enterprise. But his comment and one of the comments was, and it looks like Scotty swallowed an asteroid, right? I'll never forget that. I was like, oh, come on, man. But
well, as inaccurate as these early action figures are, it is it's very generous to James Doohan in that season's life.
Yeah,
we'll
good,
say that.
Good.
But they're all in there. You know, it's interesting, and we'll get into it here as we get deeper into this conversation. Kirk, Spock, and Scotty are all in their Monster Maroon uniform, which is my favorite Star Trek uniform.
It is the best uniform, yep.
We were in alignment there, sir. But it's interesting. It's just this particular line. I never had these toys, right? But, it, you know, over the years, I've discovered that it existed. It's just so interesting to me that these are the three main characters you pick, and they're all wearing the Monster Maroon standard uniform, which, of course, Spock does not wear in this film. Right. Which, Scotty, he has his cool jacket alternate, right? That's cool. So yep. He doesn't really wear this version. And then Kirk, of course, is in his, maroon. Like, they love maroon, I guess, in the 23rd century. But, you know, he's got his cool suit, basically. So he doesn't really wear his duty uniform. I mean, they wear him at the very beginning of the movie, and that's it. But these are the uniforms the characters are in. And, of course, you have Krug, and, you know, he's a Klingon. So, but it's just, it's interesting how we've come so far as far as toy tie-ins to movies. So, anyway, and as I was saying, they repackaged the Enterprise refit and the Bird of Prey here for Star Trek V a few years later. So, and nothing for Star Trek IV. I know last week we talked in depth about Star Trek IV. No really toy tie-ins there. I know that there was, like, I think cups at, like, 7-Eleven or something like that. There's always merchandise for all these films, but not necessarily toy lines, so... Anyway.
You know what would be interesting now that you mentioned Star Trek IV, and all these years later we have Finding Nemo? We could have Dory at the bottom of the screen translating. I don't know why I went there. Question. You do that well. Question for you, though. As far as the toys go, I do remember because I wasn't particularly handy. I've gotten a little bit better as time has gone on, but I used to enjoy putting models together, and I did put together the refit Enterprise, electronic lights, it was really, really nice. Mm-hmm. My brother got mad at me for something, slammed the door, and the thing fell off the shelf, and oof. It looked a lot like it did plummeting through the atmosphere in Star Trek 3. But
my God, Jim, what have I done?
Oh my God, yeah, it wasn't, I went after him hard, yeah, he paid for that. But at any rate, I'm curious though too, on top of the toys that you were looking at, did you look at any of the models from that era as well? Or is
So AMT, ERTL, they combined at some point. We had have many incomplete models. Like, I know we bought, what was it? I know the original series Enterprise, I still have that, like, I think we painted it all. Like the TOS proper Enterprise, we painted it all white, and then we put it in some plastic bags, and I believe it's still in a grocery bag somewhere in a closet. I don't know why we didn't finish it, but permanently in space dock is that model. And then we had an Enterprise D, and then a Cavort class Klingon cruiser. You know, the big one from TNG.
That was just a Bird of Prey, filmed up close.
That's the yesterday's Enterprise Birds of Prey. But I'm talking about, you know, the Gowron's flagship, you know.
Oh, and that's a Cavort class?
Yeah, I think so. Or Cavort, sure. You know, I don't speak Klingon, okay?
Okay, I understand.
I don't have my 7 volumes of Klingon language that Uhura has at her disposal to pull out and reference here, Ken.
But, I know. But, it's a shame.
Gowron's flagship from, like, Reunion and moving forward and TNG. Gotcha. Those models I had. But I didn't treat them like models. I treated them like toys because I was
because you were a kid,
because I'm a child, and oh God forbid you open up the toys and play with them. So yeah, that's pretty much the extent I had. Now if you want to get, you know, to that same line of thinking, Christmas ornaments. All right, my family collected these from the jump, and I know my mom went on massive searches around the city to make sure we got every new Star Trek ornament. We always had. Obviously, the 25th anniversary 1991 Star Trek ornament was the first one that kicked off the whole Hallmark Christmas ornaments, right? And so we had the original series Enterprise hanging on the tree, and we always had one in a box, too, because those got very valuable. So my mom, that we joke about this, but my mom had the foresight to, like, you know, every now and then get a second one of something, you know, to keep valuable, to put me through college one day. Well, I got through college, and we still have these in a box somewhere. So I'm gonna put my kids through college through them one day. I think that's the idea now. But
I think it'll keep going. That's funny,
yeah,
my guess.
Yeah, yeah. But those did you ever have any of those Hallmark ornaments, Ken?
No, I never did.
But they're so cool. They're so cool. Like, it's just, you could definitely, you walk in, you look at our Christmas tree, it's like, yeah, you guys are Star Trek fans, because you had every year they release one, and we got one for several years. Eventually, we kind of just stopped because there was just so many, you know. Back in the day, they released one ship every year. They had the Enterprise. Then they had the coolest one, I think everyone can agree with this, is the Galileo shuttlecraft, and it had the sound clip. It had a button at the bottom, and you push it, and it's Leonard Nimoy. He says, "Shuttlecraft to Enterprise. Shuttlecraft to Enterprise. Spock cool. here. Happy holidays. Live long and prosper." Right? It's burned into my brain because I used to punching all the time when I was a little kid. So cool. And so, yeah, and you know, they had more and more ships as the show went on, as the years went on. Had a Bird of Prey, but that kind of goes for both TNG and TOS and et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, I'm sure a lot of you guys over the years have had some Hallmark ornaments. Please let us know in the Bible Conference which ones you have, which ones are missing from your collection. You know, but those are so cool back in the day, because there wasn't – this was still, you know, this is 20th anniversary, so it wasn't this crazy, you know, toys marketing everywhere that we have today, right? I mean, you turn around, you see a new Star Trek ornament. Back then, it was special, right? And that just made it more of a collector's item, right?
Yeah. Like I said, you know, I think the difficulty for me in that era was I was it. it was a little hard. My brother and sister, younger than me at the time, too, you know, thought I was a little odd. It was like, what, Star Trek? Eh, you know, and my parents, not at all. My dad, no love for science fiction. So, yeah, I mean, the trees were, yeah, candy canes and ornaments, but nothing really commercial like that. I wish we had it. I still don't have it today. My daughter's in, my boys for the most part, well, two out of the three boys are really into it, but, you know, they're all older and doing their thing now. So, yeah, it's one of those things that I haven't, I'm sure now with Beth, I could probably dive into that a little bit further and find some cool ornaments, but we just haven't done it. So I got to get on the shtick here, buddy.
There you go, man. The eBay, just a click away.
Oh, yeah, because I already don't spend my money on foolish things now, so, you know, let's just get some more.
Well, you know, getting to, like, action figures proper, right? Like, toys proper. So Playmates, right? Playmates got the Star Trek license in 1992, and they started with Next Generation because it was on the air at the time, and so they you know, tapped into that market. 25th anniversary was a big deal with all the toys. I mean, I got all those Next Generation toys. I had the whole crew, I had the bridge, I had all that good stuff. So those are my childhood toys, right? That and Batman were like my big two toys, because the Batman movies were big in the 90s as well. So those are my big toys. But finally, a couple years later, they finally released some original series action figures, because, you know, they had Next Generation, they had Deep Space Nine, and everybody was like, hey, where's the original series? You know, I want to play with these guys. But because, you know, I watch the movies all the time, and I want, you know, you want to watch the movies, you want to play with your toys. That's what you do when you're a kid, right?
Absolutely.
So they released the entire original series cast in a bridge set. Now, by bridge set, it's it's the picture I posted in the Babel Conference. You guys can see it, but it had all seven of the original seven of the original series crew. And they all came in this cardboard bridge set, and Kirk's chair was on there. That's pretty cool. But everything else is just like, there's a rail. It's all cardboard again, right? There's a rail. There's no chairs for anyone else. It was like, if anything, this wasn't really a playset bridge. It was more like a display set bridge. But, you know, I was a kid, so I played with it. So it's like, okay, Kirk's in his chair, and then, oh, I guess Sulu and Chekhov are going to just sit on the ground here. And then Spock and Uhura can just stand in the back. So it just wasn't really the most thought-out playset. But that's not what it was meant to be. It's more just a way to release the entire crew together. And it was an interesting approach, because usually with these, you know, like all the Next Generation action figures, they release them one at a time. Okay, I'm going to get Picard, I'm going to get Worf, etc. But this was like, it was all or nothing. Like, if you wanted Spock or Kirk, you had to get the entire crew. And of course, look, I wanted the entire crew. That was great. But this had to be like a very special birthday present, because it's like, you can't just, you know, oh, hey, you made all A's this period, let's go get you a Captain Kirk action figure. It's not like that. This is a big time purchase. I mean, obviously I was a kid, I didn't buy it myself, I don't know how much it was, but you know, for seven figures in a quote-unquote play set, pretty cool. So
yeah, I'm looking at a close-up of it now. It is pretty neat. I like the design of it. Even the picture on the Enterprise on the bottom looks pretty modern, you know. It's kind of the way they did that. But yeah, That is pretty cool. I can tell you've had it for a while, but you've never opened this thing, huh?
That is not a picture of my own. I found that on the internet.
Oh. So do you still have all of these today?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
They're in a container at my mom's house somewhere. So I need to track that down and pull those out. But yes, I still have all of these Star Trek toys. Nothing was thrown away.
Do we have? Do you have enough stuff, and combined with the things that I've been getting? Because now that I'm 50 years old, I'm getting presents from my kids that are Star Trek toys. So it's like a reverse childhood that I'm going through. So you know, I'm starting to collect. They're just giving me these neat things. I'm spending money on bigger collectibles. You know, but that's kind of a new thing for me. But at any rate, you know, do we have enough of these things now where we could have a standard orbit Star Trek convention and we'd have enough displays for all the toys?
That's true. That's a good point. We should have a booth, you know. Of course, I don't want to sell these, Ken.
No.
Sentimental value, man.
They're displays. You know, we find a place that I guess sits somewhere between Boston and Houston, and you know, we meet up there and we pull in our friends and say, hey, you know, let's start Star Trek. But at the same time, we'd have all these nice displays going, right? Mm-hmm. It'd be kind of fun.
Mine are a little battle worn from all my adventures with my toys over the years. But yeah, no, I think if we called our resources, Ken, we could have quite an impressive display for sure.
Zach, I'm battle worn. Don't worry about it.
Well, you know, of course, over the course of the Next Generation line, they of course released some TOS figures because, you know, obviously McCoy, Spock, and Scotty all appeared on the Next Generation. So we have an Admiral McCoy from Encounter at Farpoint.
That's cool.
Yeah, we had an Ambassador Spock from Unification, and we had a Scotty from Relics, and they're all wearing, you know, the costumes from those episodes, right? It's not like some generic, like, because, you know, we were talking about the Star Trek 3, right? This is how far things have come since the mid-80s. Like, let's just paint the Spock character, let's just paint his costume white, and that'll be Ambassador Spock. Like, no, this was truly the Ambassador Spock costume, McCoy's in costume. And the cool thing about the Scotty figure from the Next Generation line was he's wearing, you know, his white undershirt and his vest, you know. But that's what he wears in Star Trek 5 and 6. I'm like, oh, cool, this is a Scotty figure I can play with the movies, right? Because, that's, you know, as cool as the original series crew set was, that's the TOS crew, you know? I mean, that's the TOS designs and the crew. And, you know, I'm watching the movies, and that was my jam at the time. So I'm like,
sure,
they don't, I mean, I guess these will do, I guess, but they're not quite the movies, which, you know, which leads me to, like, the next line. They actually had a classic films line, a limited line, but figures from the films nonetheless, from Playmates again. They call it the classic Star Trek movies line, right? And a lot of them were from the motion picture, actually, believe it or not. They had an Admiral Kirk in his Admiral's uniform, which
there
is,
we go.
You know, if you're going to do figures in the motion picture, that's one to do. You had Commander Spock, and he was in his duty uniform.
The One Piece?
Yes. And so it's actually funny. This funny bit of trivia here, which I got from Memory Alpha. It says, Leonard Nimoy was dissatisfied with the collector's cards to be included with the figures, and refused to allow his figure to go into production with one. As a result, this figure does not contain a collector's card. Because all Playmates, what they would do is that you would have a little trading card that would come with the action figure, right? With a picture of the character. But for whatever reason, Leonard Nimoy was dissatisfied. So that's why, that explains why his figure doesn't have one. So
that's interesting. I would have thought that, you know, obviously Leonard Nimoy had lawsuits through most of the 70s against Paramount for use of his likeness. Maybe he was just gun-shy going forward, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he was all about controlling the Spock image, you know.
Well, they exploited it, and a lot of people made a lot of money off it. And he got his payday just before the motion picture, right, when they settled the lawsuit and they wanted him bad enough to just write a check. You know, that's probably what the bulk of the budget for the film was. It was his payoff, all we know.
So they also had, and we're going through again the motion picture line here, Leonard McCoy, you know, Dr. McCoy, right, from the motion picture, is in this. Now, it's not Disco Bones, unfortunately.
Dang. I would pay for that.
If these figures were made today, I'm sure there'd be like a head you could switch out, it comes with a medallion, you know, I mean, that'd be pretty cool. But hey, it's the 90s, right? They didn't know. It wasn't quite nostalgic yet. It was like, oh, the 70s, right?
But even his uniform had the V-neck open collar.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So at least that carried over.
Yeah, and I could probably go to one of my girls' old Barbie sets and find the necklace to throw on.
Exactly, very good. And then we had a couple more, again, from the motion picture. We had Sulu in his duty uniform and Uhura in her duty uniform. So it's like, wow, we have almost the entire crew from the motion picture in their motion picture costumes, which is crazy when you think about, we were talking about how much we love the Monster Maroons. There was never a complete set from Playmates, anyway, a complete set of the crew in their Star Trek 2-6 uniforms. And yet we have almost the whole crew in their motion picture uniforms, which always, I didn't have, by the way, I didn't have any of these motion picture toys when I was a kid. I had two from this line. That I had Khan. They had Khan from Star Trek 2, so I had that one.
Right.
And then I had General Chang from Star Trek 6. So those were the two that I had from this classic Trek toy line here. And those were cool figures, you know. It was cool to have a Khan because we never got original series Khan. See, it's all these mix and match, right? And you're playing with these action figures. You're like, you use your imagination anyway, so it's not that much of a stretch. But it's like, hey, I got Khan over here. I got Kirk over here. Cool. They did have Krug. Again, Krug had an action figure in the 80s. He got an action figure here. Now, I never got Krug because there was no point, and I'll tell you why. Yes, the facial sculpt was Christopher Lloyd's Krug, but the body itself was just a repurposed Worf action figure because they had a Worf action figure from Redemption when he's in his Klingon uniform with his sash.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they had an action figure of that, which I had, and then they just put Christopher Lloyd's head on it, and it's like, hey, look, guys, I know it has Worf's sash, but here you go. So whenever I would quote-unquote play Star Trek 3, I just use the Worf action figure, so there was that, and then they had Martia from Star Trek 6.
Oh yeah,
which is an interesting choice. I guess, you know, you want to have some, you know, some more female characters in there. That's cool. No Ilea or Decker though. So
oh, that's too bad.
I mean, you had all these other people from the motion picture, but no Ilea or Decker. But they did have a Lieutenant Savick, and believe it or not, it was Christy Alley Savick, Ken. So
oh, that's too bad too. Yeah. But not to say that. I do like Christy Alley a lot, and I think she was great at Savick. Robin Curtis, though, she's much more Vulcan. Let's put it that way. But anyway, I like them both.
You know, Playmates had this license from 1992 to 1999, right? So they continued to release Star Trek figures. Now, as we get into the later 90s here, you know, I'm getting a little older. I'm not into the action figures quite as much. So moving forward here, I didn't have a lot of these figures. But as far as the original series go, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they these are all released now under the brand of Star Trek, right? Okay. So they came out with a Christine Chapel.
Okay.
They came out with a Christopher Pike, from The Cage. Not the Menagerie one. this is the Jeffrey Hunter one.
I don't think you needed to qualify that, but that's funny. But anyway, go on.
with rolling action. And then they had Yeoman Rand. They came out with a character for her. Now this is one I actually did have. They had Captain Kirk in his alternate uniform, his green uniform, his wraparound. She was so fond of wearing in season 2. So this is actually when I did have that one. So that was cool. And he had a little bit different hair too. So I was actually impressed. It was a very different looking figure. And then Spock. They had Spock from The Cage, Lieutenant Spock, Shouty Spock in his blue uniform.
Shouty Spock, right?
And the you know, keeping on the Cage theme, they had the Keeper, the main Talosian, and then they had Vina as the Orion girl. So I don't think they ever had a proper, like, you know, blonde Vina, but the one they did release was her as the Orion dancer there. So and then they also had a couple more talking about the pilots here. They released a Scotty and a Sulu for Where No Man Has Gone Before. So
wow,
they were really diving deep into it. You know, I never had those figures. I believe I want to say that those were actually like exclusive limited edition figures because obviously there's not a huge demand for that. Regardless, I didn't have them. So.
So Zach, do you know how well they sold? I mean, were they limited editions? Were they mass produced? And the reason
all the ones I'm talking about here, other than those Where No Man Has Gone Before, I mean, these were mass produced, man. These were like on every shelf, every Toys R Us, Kmart, Walmart at the time, Target. Really? Yeah, I mean, I remember it was so fun, like as a kid, and like because you think back when you're a kid, and I think I remember going to Walmart. You know, you're shorter, so I remember looking up, and there's this whole wall of Star Trek toys, and it was like, oh, this is amazing, you know. So yeah, these things are everywhere, man.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, you know, it's funny because I was in Target last week. We got up real early to go Christmas shopping, and of course, nothing was open. That's how keyed in I am, and I didn't use this newfangled device they call the internet to go and check and see when the mall hours actually opened. And so my wife and I got an early breakfast. We were like, we're going to attack. We're going to get all our Christmas stuff done, and then nothing's open, right? Because we get up early. And so I was walking around Target because that opened at 8 o'clock, and walking through the toy section just out of curiosity and looking at all the action figures. I mean, everything, Star Wars, there was nothing, right? I mean, I was like, come on, there's got to be some Trek. I need some Trek love. I mean, they had 6-foot, like, plastic stormtroopers and Darth Vaders. I mean, Star Wars is everywhere, and I know it's a big difference in popularity, but I was like, oh, come on, give me something, right? And as I'm going through it, you know, there was a family that came in. They were all in their pajamas, and as I tweeted out that day, I did my dutiful duty, walked up to them, and reminded them that they were not in Walmart, and that they needed to change because we're in a Target. So
Ken shops at Target.
Target, yeah. I was like, come on now. But yeah, that's actually true. Anyway, at any rate, yeah, I was really bumming because, you know, when you talk about that timeline, you know, that was when, you know, I was having kids and working and Navy Reserve. It was a crazy time. And it was really, I enjoyed watching the shows. And especially even during drill weekends, we get off at night. And I remember you know, some of my friends, actually Stephanie McCray Wilkerson, who's on the Babel conference now, you know, that was like a big point. It was like a group of us was like, oh, you know, I still remember seeing Best of Both Worlds with Navy buddies. Hmm. But we weren't, you know, I just wasn't keyed into what was going on in the toy world then. My kids were still, well, at that point there was only one, and he was still too little to even play with that stuff. So it's interesting hearing all this and understanding just how, I mean, I knew Star Trek was in its heyday, obviously, in the 90s. It was crazy, but I didn't know how that that was reflected in the toy market and if all of these things were really, really popular. Or it's interesting to hear they were mass produced and that a lot of people had them. It's just an area that I was kind of oblivious to at the time.
As a kid, though, I was probably the only person I knew that had all these toys. I'm sure there are other people out there. But, you know, being a nerd wasn't so in vogue back then as it is now. It's like a trendy thing. Yeah, man, I'm a nerd. Yeah, I watch The Big Bang Theory. Yeah, man. You know, like, people kind of, like, enjoy, like, you know, being that part of their personality these days. But back in the day, you know, it was still kind of like, oh, you like Star Trek? Oh. Well, do you have any baseball cards? You know? And I did have baseball cards, but I'm just saying, like, these are the conversations you have when you're a kid. But, yeah, man, what a time to be alive as a Star Trek fan as a kid, right? Because, I mean, I was the target audience. And again, all credit to my parents for keeping me well-stocked on these toys. So, you know, Generations came out in 94, right?
Right.
So we're jumping the timeline a little bit because some of those action figures came out later in the 90s. But 1994 comes out, and there are some original series crew members in Generations, right? You remember Admiral James T. Kirk from Generations, right, Ken?
Of course.
Yeah. So I don't know why, but he's mistakenly in the packaging of Generations. He's called Admiral Kirk, but on the figure, he's wearing his monster maroon, right? On the figure, he has the captain's insignia. And again, this is an older looking Kirk, so they changed the sculpt, so that was good. Although with all these Generations toys, first of all the Playmates toys, I think what's it called, 7 points of articulation, something like that. I'm not, despite what it may be sounding like here, I'm not an action figure aficionado, even though.
Right.
But on all the Playmates toys we've talked about so far, they all, you know, their head swivels, their torso swivels, their legs and arms swivel, and then they have knees and elbow joints as well. Right, so they're very posable. With this Generations line, for whatever reason, they changed the sculpts where they take away the bendable joints on the elbows and knees. So it makes it kind of awkward when you're trying to, like, you know, set them on the bridge, so to speak, right?
Sure.
They don't quite fit in the chair and all that. So it was just so weird to me. I remember, like, why are these toys different than the other than the other ones? And they just, I don't know. I guess they save money. I'm sure if you calculated the plastic, you know, they probably save millions of dollars in plastic by not giving them these joints on the arms and the legs. But so we had.
That's how they do things, yeah.
Exactly. So we had Admiral James T. Kirk. Right.
I have a fan theory on that, maybe.
No, please continue.
Yes. Okay. So the very, very common thing in the Navy, especially post-World War II, or if there is some that captains did, you know, captains that were involved in big campaigns or whatnot, when they retired them, they usually ceremoniously promoted them to admiral, to rear admiral, 2 stars, and they received their pay at that. So that could have been something that they did with the Federation, because he was previously an admiral, and so he'd get a bigger retirement check. Right. If he was an admiral, and but he would have been known as Captain Kirk. That's what he would have been famous for, like Captain John Paul Jones. When he left the father of the American Navy, when he left and became an admiral for hire, so to speak, of the Russian fleet, He truly passed away with the rank of admiral, but he's known as Captain John Paul Jones. Maybe it's something along those lines.
That's some good Navy insight there, Ken. Although the problem is, in Generations, he's wearing the captain's insignia. So
you got me there, and I can't play with that one. Other than maybe he put on the wrong uniform. I don't know. Hey, Scotty was promoted to captain, and he still called himself commander a couple times.
Captain of Engineering. Whatever that means. But yeah, so Cap, we do have Captain Montgomery Scott. He's in his monster maroon with his yellow collar and what do you call that thing? Shoulder strap? You know what I'm talking about? With the rank?
Oh, yeah, I guess so. It's a unique spot for it, but anyway, it works.
Yeah, so they kept the color coordination, which is great. Kirk has white, Scotty has yellow, and Chekhov, we have Commander Pavel Chekhov, who was in Generations. He has his gray undershirt and his gray shoulder strap. So these three characters, plus Savick from that classic Trek line, makes four. We have the four of them in their Star Trek 2 through 6 uniforms, right?
Okay.
But only this mishmash. We never got Spock or Bones or, you know, the other guys, right? They never made a flash. That's weird. They never made a flashback Sulu. They did. I'm unaware of it, but according to my research and my personal experience, I don't recall that you think that would be an easy tie-in, right? Because they made Trials and Tribulations versions of like Sisko and Dax and, you know, Bashir and O'Brien, I believe, as well. And they also made, obviously, we talked about how they made Scotty, Spock, and McCoy for Next Generation. I guess at that time it had gotten so late. But still, that's 96. Right. They had plenty of time to make a flashback Sulu. Come on, Playmates. Step your game up. But we never got – yeah, that's frustrating to me because I, you know, I love the Star Trek movies. Those ones I watch more than anything.
Right.
And I wanted the crew in those uniforms, but we never got them, at least when I was a kid.
Yeah, that's too bad. Now, at the conventions where I've seen the displays, and I haven't spent a lot of time on the action figures, is that something that you kind of peruse to see if they've come out with, or is this something you kind of follow online so you know what they've done and what they haven't?
Well, I kind of like exist in my 90s bubble when it comes to this stuff. I love it for the nostalgia value and like the memories of like, you know, what I had when I was a kid. So I don't really keep up with, oh, the new Art Asylum release of the Kirk with the three different heads and the, you know, blood stain. I mean, they literally have a blood stained Kirk from Star Trek 2, right? In a recent figure.
Okay. So as time has gone on, they've gone
so deep, Ken. It's crazy. I mean, you think all these figures is deep? Like they have alternate heads, alternate hands, alternate accessories. Like it has gone. And that's the thing. I think it's lost some of its specialness, at least from my perspective, because some of the specialness of these, you know, action figures and stuff is you play with them when you're kids and they're nostalgic and you see them again. You're like, oh man, I remember those were the days. They remind you, like any great, you know, entertainment or media, right? The way it makes you feel now reminds you of how you felt in life back then. And, you know, that's the power of nostalgia. But I have no interest in like, look at this screen accurate Star Trek 4 Spock complete with Vulcan robe and headband. Like that doesn't interest me, you know, at least, you know, and hey, other people it does. They want their whole line. They have shelves of these toys and hey, more power to you. I mean, I collect Laserdiscs, so who am I to talk, right? But
hey, we all have our thing. Yeah. And I get where you're going, right? And if it doesn't appeal, it doesn't. But yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the area you grew up in. And, you know, we see on Facebook with a lot of our friends out there that have quite the it's almost like a Star Trek room, right? Or a man cave that's inclusive of a lot of things, but then a whole section dedicated to Star Trek, and you'll see all the action figures. Or, you know, I think that our friend Jeff, Mr. Atah's there. I think he's got a storage unit to hold all his Star Trek stuff, right? I think, you know, one day when he and his wife hit it big, you know, I think they're going to have kind of like what we saw in what the heck was that movie, Fanboys? You know, when they go into that room at Lucas Ranch. I think that's Jeff's goal. it'd be really cool to have. I mean, I'd love to have something like that.
Well, my storage unit is my mom's house right now. So, yeah, God bless my mom for keeping all my stuff. So,
yeah, one day. Right, you'll have that special place. You'll refit the basement or the upstairs, and it'll be your Star Trek display.
Well, if I stay in Texas, I will not have a basement, my friend.
They don't have any basements in Texas?
No, at least not down here in Houston. Maybe up in the Panhandle, but no, we would flood in like nobody's business if we were a basement, because we're like, you know, at sea level. So can't be digging down very far down here. But to kind of finish off the Generations line as far as TOS goes, they had another Admiral James T. Kirk figure, and I had this one. I had this entire line of Generations. Admiral James T. Kirk in spacesuit. And you're thinking to yourself, spacesuit? When was Admiral Kirk? Well, Admiral Kirk. When was Captain Kirk in a spacesuit in Generations? Well, he wasn't. It's from the deleted opening scenes. If you guys have the DVD or are familiar with behind the scenes on Generations, it's when he does the skydive or the space dive or sky jump, whatever you want to call it. He does a space jump. It's a pretty cool looking spacesuit. I'm sure they spent a lot of time designing this costume and, you know, thought it would be a great opening to the film and all that. And obviously that's why the toy line had the production art of it. And like, hey, this is going to be a big moment in the film. Definitely worth making a figure out of, you know, another alternate Captain Kirk costume. And it's completely deleted from the film, right? And you wouldn't even know that it existed. I remember I got this as a kid. I was like, what is this? Because, you know, I'm a kid in the 90s. It's like,
right.
You have no, I didn't have that, the issue of Starlog magazine that tells you all the behind the scenes about Star Trek Generations. For the longest time, I thought it was like one of those, and again, I mentioned that I was a big Batman kid in the 90s. So I don't know if you recall, but in the 90s, like when the Batman movies come out, they would have so many versions of Batman. Right, they'd have Arctic Batman, Scuba Batman, Camouflage Batman. Yeah. Right, it's like this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Although I had a lot of those, but the point is, I thought this is just another one of those. Like, oh, look, spacesuit Captain Kirk. Right, like okay, whatever, it's cool. So I got it for Christmas, you know. So I was like, okay, that's neat. I have a cool alternate Kirk here for any kind of situation. But yeah, it's from a deleted scene of Generations. So interesting how that works, right? And then just because it ties into to what I just mentioned about the deleted scenes. All of the Next Generation crew in this Generations line, they're all in the alternate uniforms they ended up not using in the film. So it's very interesting. If you guys aren't aware, Generations, actually, they had planned to change the uniforms in Star Trek Generations from the TNG, you know, collared uniforms that we all know and love, to kind of a hybrid between the Monster Maroons and those. There was like a slip across the front. They were going to have ranks on their arms as well as on their collars. It was going to be a lower collar. It's very interesting design, and you can look up the production art on online and see like what the original plans were for these costumes. And I believe they shot just one scene with it. It was when Geordi had been captured by Soren, and you can barely see the costume. But for whatever reason, that they scrapped it, and I don't know if there's a real official reason why, but they decided to scrap it, and that's why we got the weird mishmash of the TNG and the DS9 uniforms in Generations, because they wanted to do something different, but they decided not to go with these new costumes. So they just decided, okay, well, let's mix it up a little bit. And that's why you have Riker running around in Avery Brooks's uniform, which is too small, which is why the sleeves are rolled up, and why you have Geordi looking like he's in an ill-fitting DS9 uniform, because, you know, Cole Meany has longer arms. So it's just when
is
you
that
know,
right? Is yeah. that is that all true?
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Jonathan Frakes is wearing Avery Brooks's Cisco uniform, and LeVar Burton is wearing Cole Meany's O'Brien uniform. So the only uniforms they made specifically were for Picard and Data, because as we all know, the TNG movies are the Picard and Data show. So they got their own Generations uniforms, but the other ones are all just hand-me-downs. That's why you never saw, you know, ironically, you never saw Worf in one, for example, but, you know, he gets his own when he goes to Deep Space Nine. But anyway, all that to say, Playmates had the original production art, and they move forward with their toy line. And those things, they go into production so far in advance because they need to be ready. They need to be ready before the movie comes out so people can buy them and be excited. So you have all these toys, the entire line of toys of the Next Generation crew, never even wore the uniform. It's such an interesting oddity as far as Star Trek collectors go. And I have them all. I used to play, like, when I used to play with the toys, they'd be like the alternate universe, you know? You know, I had the TNG crew offering those toys. But anyway.
Now, is all that stuff at your mom's house too?
Oh, yeah. It's all there, man. It's all there in a container.
Because that'd be something I'd love to see a picture of.
I will. They're all online. Thank you. Thankfully, the internet has them all easy access. But all this discussion, I'm, you know, obviously I'll be back over there for the holidays. I need to go through the garage and see if I can find that container. So that's the Star Trek Generations line. Interesting stuff. A few other last things about Playmates here. They had different accessories, right? They had an Enterprise 1701 original series. I had that as well. That stood on my dresser for several years. I had a Type 2 phaser. I had the communicator, of course. I didn't have the tricorder. I never bought the tricorder. It just didn't really seem like... Because a phaser is like a cool like gun. You run around with it. The communicator is like a cell phone kind of thing, you know, before cell phones, kids. Crazy that I was 10 and I didn't have a cell phone. It blows my mind when I'm like in public and I see some six-year-old with a cell phone, like an iPhone. I'm like, are you kidding me? I had a prepaid cell phone when I was a junior in high school. You know, that's the first thing I had. It's 10-year-old kid is playing Candy Crush on his iPhone at the mall. But anyway.
I have no comment on any of that.
Those whippersnappers.
I had a dime. I had a dime to make a call if I needed to in an emergency. That's it.
Oh, man. But yeah, the communicator and the phaser were cool props, right? The tricorder, I mean, I guess it would have been cool if I had had it. I didn't, so I have no nostalgic attachment to it. But that's that as far as, you know, the original series stuff goes. They did release a Galileo shuttlecraft, which I never had. I had the TNG shuttlecraft, but I didn't have the Galileo shuttlecraft. I guess my parents figured, look, you have one shuttle. You don't need a second one. I even had the runabout from Deep Space Nine, so that would have been overkill to have a third one. But the interesting thing about the Galileo is it came with a Kirk from Where No Man Has Gone Before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, because obviously they had not even built the shuttle then. That's a big thing about the Enemy Within. There was no shuttle built yet. That's why there was a big thing with the transporter and all that. But we have pilot-era Kirk in the Galileo shuttle, which is kind of a juxtaposition. But that's the only way you could get that Kirk action figure, so I never had it. But he would go along with, obviously, the Scotty and the Sulu. And then, of course, if you wanted to really mix and match, you'd get, you know, the Cage-era Spock and all that. So, anyway, that's the TOS Playmates stuff. And I loved all that stuff, man. I play with those toys to death. And they're a little worse for wear, but, you know, I had fun with them. That's what's cool. I mean, we joke about, don't take it out of the package, the collectible value. But, hey. You know, finally, just to kind of wrap things up here with Playmates, Playmates did get license again to do toys for Star Trek 09.
Okay.
When it came out. And, you know, Ken, you were asking me about how well did these toys do? You know, were they successful? Were they not? Well, unfortunately, the Star Trek 09 wave did not do too well. And they had planned multiple waves of these action figures. It was canceled after the first wave. So there were several figures they planned which were canceled and did not come to fruition. And the biggest problem of this, honestly, it's like it would be disappointing enough not to have these toys. But
yeah.
The way that the Star Trek 09 toy line was conceived was every character would have a piece of a bridge playset. And when you got all the characters, you could put all these pieces together and then create the bridge from Star Trek 09. Okay?
Okay.
So, I mean, so that's really cool. You know, I mean, that's a really neat idea. But unfortunately, when you cancel the second wave, you don't get all those figures. So some of the second wave figures that were canceled were McCoy in his standard uniform, Chekhov in his standard uniform, Kirk in his cadet uniform. You had another skydiving Kirk got canceled as well. This one actually made it into Kirk. He cannot catch a break when you skydive, Captain Kirk action figure. Kirk in an off-duty uniform, Spock in his academy instructor uniform, Sulu in his skydiving uniform, General Al, was that the name of his number two guy that's choking Kirk? Like, you're pathetic.
Was he a general? I just never heard that.
I guess not. Sarek, Kiesner, and then a character named Dracolius, who I have no idea who that is. Perhaps an alien from Rear Pente, perhaps a member of the Narada crew. But unfortunately, those were all canceled. So.
Okay.
We did not get those figures, and we did not get the pieces they needed to complete the bridge. There are people online who have, like, done the math or whatever, right, done the calculations, where you can put together the existing pieces of the bridge that came with the figures that were released, and you can still kind of construct a bridge from that. So it's interesting. I don't have a link or anything for you guys, unfortunately. I just remember seeing that online. I thought that was a cool idea. How, you know, Star Trek fans, right? Leave it to us to come up with this stuff. But they figured out a way where, well, if you put these pieces together this way, you can at least have the shell of a bridge. So that's cool. And then, you know, to tie it back into the 90s Playmates toys from my youth, I was complaining about the cardboard bridge. I mean, I'm complaining about it now at the time. I was like, oh, cool, a bridge. But yeah, it's pretty lame when you look back at it. They had actually planned an original series bridge, much in the same way they had an Enterprise D bridge, which was like the coolest thing ever, by the way, which I had when I was a kid. That was so excited to get that one. But they had the complete self-contained. It had walls and all that. It was so cool. It had buttons and lights and all the chairs and, oh, so cool. But they had planned to do that for the original series, but they didn't. I don't know why. Maybe they ran the numbers and it wasn't quite wasn't quite working out the way they thought, but that was canceled. I would have loved to have that when I was a kid as well. But it's, you know, as you can tell, guys, I had a pretty good childhood when it comes to these toys, so it's fine. I was fine. I was fine without it. So don't cry for me. But yeah, man, that's the rundown as far as these go. I mean, they released other figures along the way. They had some twin packs like Playmates in the 90s. They had Kirk, Spock, a Mock Time two-pack. They had a Kirk and Spock spacesuit from the Tholian Web two-pack. Mm-hmm. They had a Harry Mudd. They had a Baylock two-pack, you know, with like, you know, the Clint Howard Baylock and then the alien Baylock. And then, you know, they had the Gorn and the Mugatu, of course. Can't not have those guys, and they're the most iconic Star Trek aliens. And then, you know, and they also had the most ridiculous ones. I never had this guy, but they had an Andorian, right? And you think, oh, cool, the Andorian with, like, the blue shield from Journey to Babel. No, not that Andorian. They had the Andorian from Whom Gods Destroy with, like, the pink, like, boa.
Uh-huh.
And he comes with the giant pink boa. You're like, what is this? Like, it's just such an odd action figure choice. But that is the rundown, my friends. Now, obviously, they have gone Art Asylum, and several other companies have gone on to make these extremely detailed, screen accurate, you know, two scale figures, and that's all well and good, you know. And the people that collect those, like, I understand why. We all have our things, as you said, Ken. We all have the things that we love and gravitate towards. But those things just aren't for me, you know. As far as toys go, I'm more about the nostalgic. Like, oh man, look at this wily and accurate action figure that I loved when I was a kid. I love it, you know. That's the kind of stuff that gets me excited. So,
well, you know, I think too, there's a change in perception and so forth when you're a kid, and the idea of being able to use your imagination better to fill in those gaps, you don't care as much, and so it's a much different view from a child than it is an adult, who's looking to capture stuff. And of course, we're always looking for the things that make it more authentic, or the flaws even to make it more controversial or conversational, depending on your view. Mm-hmm. So I get exactly where you're going. I always thought it was fun to kind of play and to change things up. Or, you know, you were talking before about the Batmans and all the different types of Batmans. I do remember that stuff for my kids. And, you know, my middle son, Code, is a big superheroes, fan, even to this day, and has a lot of things that he collects. And I remember that used to be the thing. Okay, you know, find the mismatch ones. It was kind of fun. And if we look to on the Babel conference post that was put up as you were advertising the recording of the show, Marcia Pratt has some really cool shots of the Shran, the Andorian.
From Enterprise, yeah.
Yeah, which is kind of neat, right? And a lot of that stuff could be reflective back.
A much better Andorian than what the Playmates gave us in the 90s, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can see the quality and kind of hugging the owl there. And I would encourage all of you, you know, Robert, Nathaniel, I mean, all these folks out there that are kind of posting in there, Nicholas as well, Amy, if you've got pictures of this stuff, post it. To me, this is all fascinating. And just like Marcia's kind of Christmas Star Trek with Andorians and owls, and it's just kind of neat. Love this stuff. So yeah, post it. Show us what you have, what you collected. I think the picture that you posted kind of kicks it all off, Zach. You know, it's kind of neat to me. And you know, this is the right time of year to be doing that. So whether it's this thread or a brand new one that we'll put up as we get closer to the launch date of this this podcast, share these things. I love looking at them. I really do, and I love seeing the displays that people put up, especially around the holidays. You know, it's all in good fun, and to me, it's like, hey, I don't have any of these things, so hey, show me what you got. Maybe I'll start building up my old collection.
I don't know. It's a slippery slope, Ken. I don't know if you want to go down that road.
Well, I already have in certain ways, and there's not much I would try to do to change it. I just think that you know, the recordables, the collectibles, excuse me, the recordables. My God, I'm talking about an injury right at work. See how much work gets into my head. Collectibles, you know, kind of, you know, I got a couple of really cool things lately from a friend of mine that has some contacts in Hollywood. Yeah, that's right. Where I, you know, I've got the Star Trek IV album signed by the cast. That was really neat. You know, I'm sure Brendan would be very jealous, and I like making Brendan jealous. And I've got a autographed of all the Star Trek Beyond cast members, all of them, which is, you know, kind of sad. Now look, I'm looking at my office over at Anton's picture, and it's just like, you know. But it's really neat. Those are the things that I enjoy that I'm putting up now. So I guess I'm having my childhood all over again. But I'm spending money on these things, and it's ridiculous. Anyway, it's my thing. So. Yeah, hey, this was a great conversation. Very interesting and entertaining for me because I'm reliving everything you're saying through your eyes, through your childhood. What I would have loved to have had I had been younger, when discovering Star Trek at a different point in time when I was a kid.
Yeah, and I'm sure that as extensive as the amount of toys that I talk about here, I'm sure I missed some because I didn't own them all. You know, believe it or not, I didn't own them all. I know there were some. Like, they had City on the Edge of Forever, Kirk and Spock, with, like, Edith Keeler, and they had Trelane, and they had Kang, and they had all these, you know, random one-offs that I never had. But, you know, it gets to a certain point where it's like, okay, I think I have enough versions of Kirk and Spock, okay? I am going to use my imagination as it goes. But, yeah, guys, if, like Ken was saying, please share your collections as well. Just, you know, either if you have pictures or just tell us about them, because it's always fun to, like, oh, man, you had that too? Oh, that's great. You know, there's just something about that. That's the thing of Star Trek fandom, you know, that connects us all. and this nexus, Ken, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Hey, that's coming.
It's coming.
We're going to have that. We're going to be dealing with that pretty soon. It's going to be fun. Going to be fun.
Well, we'll see what Santa brings us this year, Ken. But talking about Star Trek toys isn't the only thing that's going on Trek FM this week. Here's a quick look at some other things you might have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, to the journey!
Yeah, that's what happened to the Equinox crew, actually. You know, we never did find out what happened to them, but in my headcanon, they're actually in little hamster wheels down an engineering making the ship go a little faster.
Faster, Mr. Lessing, faster!
Melodic Treks.
Now, both of those tracks make me think of Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I definitely think you're kind of right there. I'm not ashamed to admit that I have only ever seen the fourth Indiana Jones movie.
Dear Lord.
Meta Treks.
And that's the world of language that we live in. It's not this purely referential sense of language. Like when Riker says a minuet, he doesn't just mean, oh, yeah, that thing minuet that I can point to, whatever that is on the holodeck, right?
A 17th century French dance. Maybe he wants to dance.
Riker wants to bust a move.
Saturday morning Trek. When she did the psychic girl?
Yes.
Like that one where I was just like, really, Nichelle? Yeah. Like that is the direction that you want to go? Like,
they are putting a device in the warp control room. Oh, no.
Like, I was just, oh, man. But you could tell it was Nichelle. And I was laughing so hard at that. It was so much fun.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So you can find us on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and of course you can always stream or download the MP3 file from our website at trek.fm and grab the RSS link as well. If you're an Apple user, please be sure to hit the subscribe button. That makes it easier for other listeners to find the show as they search iTunes and helps us increase our visibility for new listeners.
If you would like to get in touch with us here at trek.fm, you can always find us on trek.fm/contact and look in the sidebar on the show page, or you can go to speakpipe.com/trekfm and please leave us a voice message. You can also contact us through Twitter at trekfm, facebook.com/trekfm, and The Babel Conference. Type The Babel Conference, B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, or go to our website at trek.fm and click discussion on the menu bar.
So let me talk to you for a second about Patreon, Zach. Patreon is the program that Trek FM employs in order to get donations to keep the network coming to you commercial free. It is wonderful. Most of the hosts here on Trek FM are big contributors to Patreon and found our way onto the network through Patreon. So if you can spare any money, and we don't care what the denomination is, it really means a lot to us because there is a lot of content that we're putting up there, a lot of bandwidth, a lot of programming, a lot of equipment that we need. So please, if you can help us out, we'd appreciate it. And all you have to do is go to patreon.com, that's patreon.com/trekfm, and you can click any donation you want. And we do have some incentives for you. So For $15 a month, you get to join the Patrons Roundtable, where you podcast and you know, again, that is where a lot of us started. It was on the Roundtable. I was on the very first one. I had a blast. And if you can contribute $25 or more per month, then you get associate producer credits for whatever show you like. And we love our associate producers. So please, 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 if you have the ability, it is more than appreciated. And speaking of our associate producers, we'd like to thank Renee Roberts, Richard Rutledge, and Aaron Harvey. Thank you so much, always, for your support for both Standard Orbit and the Trek FM network. You can find Renee on Twitter at mres_1701. You can find Richard at rut8972. And you can find our buddy Aaron Harvey at GeekFilter. So if you're looking for me on the network, you can find me on the Babel Conference. I'm always on there, pre, post shows, talking different subjects with all our listeners. And you can also find me on Twitter at Boston SCPO. That means Boston Senior Chief Petty Officer.
As for me, you can find me on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoreOnZach. And I'm also the host of my own podcast called Always Hold On to Smallville, where we talk about each and every episode of that Young Superman show from the early 2000s. And we're on Twitter at AlwaysMallville with one S. And also, I'm around the Babel Conference as well. It's always great to talk to you guys on there, making conversation about our shows, other shows, general Star Trek topics, anything, really. Love to talk to you guys on there. So thanks for listening, everyone. And join us again next time here on Trek.fm for another episode of Standard Orbit.